So once a month-ish on this podcast, Man to Man, we like to kind of like pull back the veil a little bit and talk about maybe some more lighthearted conversational pieces about maybe a story we're talking about in the Bible or a Bible reading plan or something that we kind of like was read to us at church recently, just hit us differently. So is there anything that you have to bring to the table this month?
Let's see. In my reading plan, I am still in Kings a little bit. There's just there's still Kings that, you know, and one is kind of just as bad as the other, if not worse. Mm-hmm. It's like they're going to a school to outdo each. I can beat that, name that tune, yeah, or, you know, beat that king. But we're like, I'm waiting for, okay, there's got to be a good one coming along. And I'm sure there is.
Yeah.
But you have one you want to talk about around oil.
Yeah, so I am also in Kings right now, but most of my stories have been around Elijah and Elisha. And very difficult to keep those separate in my head just because of the reading speed. But
Frank and John would not were taken. So we wanted to be really close to each other.
But so one of the stories that I was reading recently was about Elisha. And a woman comes to him and says, my husband's passed away. I have sons. We have debts to pay. You know, I need help, kind of thing. And it was interesting that his response, cause I thought, like, oh, maybe he'll, like, he's like, oh, your debt's covered, I got it, kind of thing. I got a 20 here, we can cover that this week. And he just goes, I want you to go talk to all your neighbors and grab all the vessels you can get and then close the door and take the oil that you have in your house and fill all those vessels.
Right.
And so she does that, closes the door and just, like, fills vessel after vessel and keeps asking the sons to bring more vessels, and she fills it all up and then sells off the oil to kind of cover the debt. And I was like, that seems like such a roundabout way to kind of cover a debt, which I was interested in, but the weirdness of that, he required her to close the door. I thought that was interesting. Several times in Elijah's and Elisha's ministry, they talk about closing the door to do something, which was interesting because these miracles that are happening, like when they, you know, revive a boy from the dead, a woman conceives a child and she's like 60. After he dies, he closes the door to revive him.
Right.
I thought it was interesting that, like, the miracle happened, but it still happened behind a closed door.
Right.
And so, like, this miracle that's like, you know, oh, man, it'd be so easy to believe in Jesus and in the gospel if these miracles happen. It still kind of happened behind a closed door. Mm. And so it was just interesting that even though they couldn't see it, you could still believe it.
Right. So. I mean, God could pull back the veil of the universe right now and scare everybody to death, or he could work in the lives of people. And while we're thinking, can't you just Venmo me something to pay this debt? Can I Cash App, whatever? You know, they are a agricultural time period. Mm-hmm. They deal with sometimes bartering.
Yeah.
You know, like wool and sheep and have you met my daughter, that type thing. Mm-hmm. So it puts it in context, obviously. And there are many times, in a Jewish custom that we don't quite understand that. Yeah. And that's the whole point of, you know, listening to a pastor unpack a passage because they're studying the history of that culture. And why maybe that door is important.
Yeah.
You know, it's think of the tabernacle, right? There was so much detail about that tabernacle.
Oh, yeah.
I would have messed that up a million times over again just because it was just so many, much detail. Thank goodness someone wrote that down and wrote down correctly so that people could come along and say, okay, this is how we do it.
Did he say 12 cubics or 13 cubics? This is very important.
Let's go back to the text to be sure. And so, those traditions meant something to them. And there's one festival that they build even to this day. Some of the Orthodox Jews, they build a small shelter in their backyard to go do something in, kind of thing. So once you get past or trying to keep track of Elijah and Elisha, then you can focus on some of the things that are unique to his story.
Yeah, well, I do think it's interesting because, I mean, there's multiple instances where it would have been probably so much easier for him just to wave his hand and it'd be taken care of. But that woman filling those oil jars, it made it much more impactful to her, probably. Sure. It's like, oh, my debt isn't just covered, but it's covered in a miraculous way.
Right.
I mean, there's one guy that comes in and he's like, I'm covered in leprosy, and tells him, go dip yourself in the water. And the guy walks away all angry because he's like, isn't there better water out there for me to clean myself with? And so he goes and dunks himself 7 times after throwing a tantrum to his servants. And the servant's like, well, he's a man of God. Maybe we should listen to him. And he does that, and his skin is restored. And again, it could have been so much easier for him just to go, poof, you're done. You're good.
Right.
No more melanoma for you. But it was much more impactful that there was a process and something that defined logic to make it, you know, happen.
Right.
And I think that's interesting to see that whenever I'm reading these stories, Israelites come up again, my favorite punching bag.
Right.
Seeing all these miracles and still disobeying God.
Sure.
Right. You know, seeing that and how much easier it is for us who are not seeing these kind of miracles to this extent, at least, to still walk away. But we have the Bible, the living word of God, to showcase these things to us and say, okay, here is where the gospel lies, and see all the things that point to Jesus throughout every single story.
And I think it's details like that that make it, one, richer, but more realistic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he could have just, not that they say he could have, if God always just kind of like folded his arms like a genie and boing, there is that. I'm gonna fix that. I'm gonna fix this. Mm-hmm. Wave his hand, do that. You know, we would expect that to be how all of our problems are solved.
Yeah.
But as the Bible unfolds in front of us in normal, everyday human lives, because what they experienced back then, we experience now, while different, very similar issues of humanity and pride and greed, whatever the thing is, right? I think it makes it more realistic, and we can identify with that kind of stuff, or it helps us dig into, well, why did they do that?
Yeah.
And I would say rarely, even though it might seem crazy reading it about talking donkeys, I do think that it beckons us to maybe research why that took place. Like, I'll always think of that story from a pastor back in New Orleans, and that title of that sermon was called Seven Ducks in a Muddy Pond.
Mm.
And so I think that it makes it more human.
Yeah.
When we hear that kind of stuff. But when you start to realize the enormity, the omnipresence of the Creator, to focus on the details of the sparrow.
Yeah.
You're like, wasn't this an easier way? Sure, there was a much easier way for Christ to pay for the sins of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But the process he went through was for our benefit, not his.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this and you're not in a Bible reading or plugged into a church, we challenge you to do that. Get plugged in. Uncommon, we have a Bible reading plan if you're interested in it. It's called Holy 90.
Holy 90.
We go through the Gospels. So if you haven't done that already, go ahead and check that out. And we truly appreciate you guys listening today. If you have any interesting stories that you're reading right now in your Bible reading, leave them down in the comments below. We love hearing those. I'll leave you with this. If you're going to be something, be uncommon.